This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
I respect all the work that this body does. And a good judge takes seriously everything you do and reads everything put before him or her. You don't close your mind to any argument. You put on the robe, you open your mind. Originalism, textualism, whatever label you want to put on it. What a good judge always strives to do, and I think we all do, is strive to understand what the words on the page mean. Presidents make all sorts of arguments about inherent authority. They do. And that's why we have courts.
What is the purpose of the Emolument Clause?
The Emoluments Clause, Senator, is not a clause that had attracted a lot of attention until recently.
You wouldn't be hesitant to discuss the Fourth Amendment or the Fifth Amendment, would you?
Well, I'm hesitant to discuss any part of the Constitution to the extent we're talking about a case that's likely to come before a court, pending or impending. I care deeply about the law and an independent judiciary and following the rules of the law. And that's what commitment I can make to you. I can't promise you more, and I can't guarantee you any less.
Well, what worries me is you have been very much able to avoid any specificity like no one I have ever seen before.
My Republican colleagues assumed the well-known courtroom strategy of never asking a question that could hurt their witness and made every effort to humanize you so that we know your love of fly fishing and rodeos and family.
This man is as mainstream as you will get. The bottom line here is we're taking the nomination process to a place it was never intended to go by the framers of the Constitution, and Alexander Hamilton would be rolling over in his grave.
I know in our civic culture today there's a great pessimism about our government. I don't share that.
A little bit of a highlight reel here of yesterday's hearing, and as you can tell, the Democrats are hard pressed. They keep Scott. They're looking for this dog that somehow he kicked or something in the background to try to nail him on. But he is artful. Wow, he is good. And if nothing else, I think that this whole hearing, ought to be captured and put into infamy. And that will be a teaching aid forever for anybody who would aspire to become a chief justice or a federal judge, and dare I say, even a judge at all at any level, because, what he is saying is that he's committal about the things he needed to be committed to. And that is that he's going to go and, call balls and strikes, which is what which is what we would hope a justice would do, and not be the activist that we see happening right now. And, where you can say, well, the reason they're making this decision is because they have a certain point of view or a lifestyle. So, of course, they're going to make that kind of, especially when it gets down to a situation where it is their vote and their vote alone.
I've been very impressed with him. He's been very impressive. He's throughout the whole thing, I think it was Feinstein that said, you've been very, you've avoided being very, very specific. And, these are the same people that wanted him to give yes or no answers yesterday.
Yes.
Right. And he just told them, I thought that was a great thing that he said yesterday when he was like, these questions, I'm sorry, they're not yes and no answers. They're just not. Mm-hmm. So I've been very impressed with him.
Well, he would seem, as some are reporting, he's on a glide path toward confirmation. I don't know how the Democrats can stop this. And nuclear weapon or not that could be exercised. We'll have to see if the option is exercised. Neil Gorsuch, and this is Bill Martinez live.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Attention! If you or a loved one had a total or reverse shoulder replacement between 2011 and 2016 and suffered serious complications, including dislocation and loosening, you may be entitled to substantial compensation. Evidence indicates that these devices can dislocate and loosen, causing severe pain, and may require additional revision surgery. If you or a loved one had a total or reverse shoulder replacement and suffered a dislocation and loosening requiring a revision, call 800-598-0696. If you or a loved one had a total or reverse shoulder replacement between 2011 and 2016 and suffered serious complications, including dislocation and loosening, you may be entitled to substantial compensation. Time is limited to file a claim. Act now. For more information and a free consultation, call 800-598-0696. That's 800-598-0696. Again, that's 800-598-0696. Call now.
Values, faith, service. They still exist here. Bill Martinez, live.
Well, hello, America. Bill Martinez here. As always, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com for all the information that you need to know, along with past interviews, some great guest interviews, and some insight as well that we're happy to share with you from our plethora of experts. And speaking of experts, we have Tom Harris, Executive Director of the International Climate Science Coalition. Tom, always good to have you with us. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm pretty good.
Hey, President Trump's Environmental Protection Agency chief, Scott Pruitt, really stopped and, stopped some people in their tracks, maybe caused some of the environmentalists' head to spin a little bit when he made the comment that carbon dioxide emissions from the burning of fossil fuels are not to blame for global warming.
Well, yeah, it's interesting. If you actually read his statement, it's a very lawyerish type statement. Mm-hmm. He didn't actually say that. He said, I would not agree that carbon dioxide is the primary contributor. He didn't actually say that it isn't. He said he would not agree. And so in a way, that's like saying, I would not agree that there is extraterrestrial life, but yes. I wouldn't necessarily disagree. Mm-hmm. So, but, he went on to say that the actual measurements are very uncertain. The interpretation of those measurements is very uncertain. And basically that the science is simply not there to make any definitive conclusion. So, he's quite correct. The interesting thing, though, is that as a lawyer, he can't personally say whether certain things are happening in science. All he can say is that there's a big debate, and indeed there is.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's certainly more open for debate now as a result of the Trump administration. As we know, climate scientists have had their way. They've put all kinds of pressure, utilized the people's money to fund only those projects that support their agendas. And so it's been rather prejudicial and such a foregone conclusion that our former president would refer to, climate change as a fact, that global warming was a fact. And in some cases, there were some politicians, I think including him, that suggested that that was the most dangerous thing, even more so than ISIS.
Yeah. And yet it's interesting because the UN are running a poll and people can see it. It's if you go to the UN website, it's actually if you Google it, My World and United Nations, they're running a poll across the world to find out what people think are the most important priorities for the United Nations. And so far, over 9 million people have voted. Anyone can get in and vote. Mm-hmm. And they tabulate it by country, and there's dozens of countries, millions of people from different countries in Africa. And they ask them, okay, is it education? Is it healthcare? Is it clean water? Is it security? What is it? Or climate change? And so far, climate change rates dead last among virtually all people across the world in the list of the 9 million people. Climate change, they just really don't care in comparison with other issues. So mm-hmm. it's going to be very hard for the UN to continue to say that climate change is the most important threat facing humanity when the people of the world don't agree.
Exactly. Well, but then they always see themselves as being, the mom and dads of the civilization. So, we're going to make the kids eat that good fruit that they're supposed to have.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're not smart enough to do that themselves, right?
Well, you know, starting on Thursday, Bill, it's a great opportunity for people, all your listeners, to actually hear firsthand from the scientists who are saying what we're saying, namely, we don't know what the future of climate is. So indeed, we're wasting our money trying to stop it when we can't even forecast it. So if they go to the heartland.org website on Thursday, there is the 12th International Conference on Climate Change, which is going to bring in world-leading experts from Princeton, MIT, all sorts of places, and they're having a two-day conference in Washington, D.C. We expect that some of Trump's people will be there, and it's a great opportunity for the public to understand that the science is all over the board. I mean, some people out of Russia, for example, Dr. Abdusamatov, who's from the Pulkovo Observatory near St. Petersburg, he says the sun is going into a weak phase by the middle of the century, so we're really headed for global cooling. Mm-hmm. So, indeed, you know, when they say the science is settled and you don't even know if it's going to warm or cool, I mean, that's just foolish.
Yeah, settled on what?
Yeah, it's settled on being unsettled.
Perfect. That's what I was just going to say.
Right. And, you know, the whole point of science is that it's not truth. It's not like 2 + 2 = 4. People don't seem to understand that science is the interpretation of experts based on how they see and how they collect data. And, of course, all that can change. You know, one thing people don't realize is that there are parts of the world that have no temperature sensing stations at all. In fact, in very far north of the world, there's an area half the size of Russia in the Arctic that has no temperature sensing stations. There's virtually none in the Antarctic, except in some very distinct places. Big parts of Central Africa, the Pacific Ocean. And so NASA say, oh, we got 81% of the world covered with our ground surface temperature measurements. But their definition of something being covered is that there's a temperature sensing station within 1,200 kilometers.
Oh, yeah.
And that's crazy. That's the distance from Ottawa, Canada, to Myrtle Beach in South Carolina. So we would only need, according to NASA, one temperature sensing station in that whole area to be able to claim we understand what climate's doing. So the first step, if we were really to take this seriously, and if we actually believed that we were causing dangerous climate change, we've got to find out where we are now. Mm-hmm. And we don't. We don't even know where we are now. So we have to obviously greatly increase the temperature measuring capability.
Exactly. Well, Tom, it all started out with a faulty premise, and then when you understood that there were these emails that was exposing the con that was being thrust upon the people. I mean, real scientists would not have accepted this. I mean, they basically, you know, what I seem to observe is that the real scientists have kind of just stepped away and said, okay, I'm, you know, they're going to go ahead and chase windmills and be delusional. So I'm just going to let them, you know, by themselves, and eventually they'll find out. Really? Meanwhile, you know, they've spent a lot of the people's money here in this country, been able to tap into our treasury, and I believe it's malfeasance, it's a misappropriation of the people's money, and nobody's going to jail or anything like that. It's okay.
Well, and there's an even bigger problem, and that is that Obama has been intent on completely revising the U.S. energy infrastructure. You know, coal used to provide over half of your power. It's now down to 33% and shrinking. Okay, because Obama wanted to stop climate change. And yet the United States is the Saudi Arabia of coal. Okay, with proper pollution control, I don't mean carbon dioxide because it's not a pollutant, of course, but I mean things like nitrous oxide and sulfur dioxide and soot. If you properly control that with modern coal stations, you can get very inexpensive power from coal in states like West Virginia and Kentucky and Utah, who sit on the coal, of course they should use it. I mean, even Texas gets something like a quarter of your power from coal. Okay, you have a lot of natural gas. But the bottom line is that Obama has distorted the energy infrastructure of the whole country. And had he not lost, and effectively Clinton would have been Obama too, had they not lost, it would have been a disaster.
Exactly. Is there a way to rebuild that again, Tom, and get those numbers moving up, or is the damage so severe that it's going to take us generations to recover?
Well, it'll take maybe 5 years or 10 years. I mean, it's not generations, but the first thing they have to do is Trump has to kill the Clean Power Plan, because the Clean Power Plan regulates only one gas, and that is carbon dioxide, which, of course, is plant food. And they're doing it because of the climate scare. It's not a clean power plan. It's a climate power plan. So he has to kill that right away. But, you know, Bill, even more important, they have to switch public opinion, because the Democrats will get back in eventually. And if public opinion is not strongly on the climate realist side, in other words, those of us who believe that climate changes all the time, and that our impact is probably very small. They have to sway public opinion. That's really critical.
Hey, Tom,
otherwise, when the Democrats get back in, they're doing it.
Exactly. We've got to hit the pause button. We'll be right back. Stay with us, ladies and gentlemen. Tom Harris, Executive Director of the International Climate Science Coalition. More from Tom after this.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
This is a life-changing message for anyone with sleep apnea who is on the go and tired of dragging around a big, bulky home CPAP device. Now there's finally a portable device that's as small as a soda can and weighs less than a pound. You can even add a battery that's as tiny as a deck of cards. It's the Transcend Mini CPAP. And right now, you can try Transcend absolutely risk-free for 10 days. So call now, 1-800-962-2358. Transcend is the world's first portable mini CPAP device. It gives you the freedom to sleep in total comfort anywhere you are. Our smallest and most advanced portable design ever, Transcend is so small and so light, you can fit it in your briefcase or purse to use anywhere you go. It's FAA compliant too, so you can even sleep comfortably while flying. Enjoy the freedom to sleep comfortably anywhere. To receive your 10-day in-home trial, call MiniCPAP.com now. 1-800-962-2358. Again, that's 1-800-962-2358.
You've heard the phrase, you are what you eat? Not true. Actually, you are what you can absorb. So if the vitamins and supplements you now take are not being absorbed, what good are they? Introducing Protovite, proprietary liquid system that allows premium quality nutrients to positively affect the blood in an astonishing 5 minutes. Watch our amazing 2-minute live blood cell video at TrueHealthFacts.com. That's TrueHealthFacts.com. Then call 502-410-3411. Protovite is nutrition you can feel. Protovite is nutrition that gets in. Lifetime Grazed 100% grass-fed beef has the health benefits you seek. When compared to conventional beef, it offers good fats while virtually eliminating the bad. That's the result of cattle who never eat grain, ever. Rich in antioxidants, including vitamin E, C, beta-carotene, and CLA. No artificial hormones, antibiotics, or other drugs. For all our fresh, non-cooked products with only 100% grass-fed beef, go to MidasResources.com. Use voucher code GCN to get 30% off your order. MidasResources.com, or find us on Facebook.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Are you looking to become more self-sufficient? Then you need to have your own energy source. The Solark EMP hardened generator is automatic, maintenance-free, and reduces your monthly electric bill. You can also take it off-grid when you go camping. Contact PortableSolarLLC.com or call for details at 972-575-8875 today. Portable Solar LLC gives you everything you need to start using solar energy in less than 1 hour. Solark EMP hardened solar generator energy insurance for your family or business. Call Portable Solar LLC today.
Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. What more could you want? Bill Martinez Live. Turn it up.
Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here. Tom Harris is with us right now, Executive Director of the International Climate Science Coalition. And Tom, what you were saying before break is that the deal really has to be sealed in the minds of American because the perception that's been purported out there with climate change and global warming and all that, there's been
such fake science that has settled in people's mind. I mean, some people are just very passionate about this, Tom. They're passionately wrong, but they're very passionate about it. So we've got that to overcome. And to educate them and others to the real truth of the matter, don't we?
Oh, yeah, exactly. We have to get people to think more realistically. You know, for example, last year, or actually earlier this year, they announced that last year was the hottest year on record. People have to learn to ask simple questions like, how much did it break the record by, and what is the uncertainty? Well, it turned out it broke the record, 2016 broke the record, by 6/100ths of a degree, okay? Yeah. Now, the uncertainty in the measurement is 4 times that. In other words, it really could have gotten colder. We just don't know. Mm-hmm. So the bottom, sorry, I'll correct that. It's 7/100ths of a degree, and the actual uncertainty is 27/100ths of a degree. Okay, so what it means is the temperature could have gone up and down anywhere in that plus or minus 27/100ths of a degree range. So people have to learn to take this data with a massive grain of salt and say, okay, so tiny change in an absolute temperature for the world. I mean, and how much does world temperature really matter? I mean, there isn't any super being that experiences world temperature. We live in regions, okay? Now, if people want to get an idea of what's going on in regions, the best database to go to is on the NOAA.gov website. That's where they list all the extreme weather records, things like hottest year, coldest year, things like that. And they can see, if they go there, and I'll send you a link after we talk, they can see when the records were set for every one of the 50 states. And you know, there was not a single record set in 2016, none in 2015, only one in each of the previous 3 years. You have to go back to the 1930s to find out when regular extreme weather records were being set. So the data is just not there to support the scare, and that's what we really have to show people.
Tom, what do we need to really, you know, focus on here? Because, you know, a lot of people say, well, look, I'm not a scientist. I can't remember all this stuff. You know, but how do I speak intelligently about this issue? Because it does come up, and like I said, you get those people that are very passionate about this. I've tried to have reasonable conversations with, you know, people. They find out, oh, you're a talk show host, you know, and of course, and then they want to talk about their favorite subject, and you find out they have about the depth of a bumper sticker. They really don't have the facts, and they've, you know, been persuaded by their professors in a teaching institution. And, you know, and they've drunk the grape juice, and they're no longer asking any questions, which, you know, that's the death of science right there. When science stops asking questions, you're dead.
Well, I think the first thing to focus on is not so much the science, but how much money is being spent on the issue across the world. Right now, according to the, it's a group out of San Francisco, Climate Policy Initiative, that's what they're called. The world is spending over $1 billion a day on climate finance, okay? $1 billion a day. And you have to say, well, look, if the world's people rate climate change the very bottom of the priority list, imagine all the things that you could do with $1 billion a day. And so that's the thing I say to people. People will say, well, I'm not interested in climate change. I'm interested in education. And I say, oh, well, then what would $1 billion a day do for your education?
Exactly.
It doesn't matter whether you're left wing or right wing. Okay. The fact is, if you're spending that much money on what most people consider a low priority concern, namely what's going to happen in 50 years, then I think you've got to reevaluate it. You know, many people, even on the left, are now starting to say, this is a little screwy. We don't have enough money to help refugees and, you know, to help the poor of the world, even in our own country. Mm-hmm. But, and of course, the U.S. infrastructure, you got a third of all your bridges collapsing or on the verge of collapsing. According to my cousin, who's an expert in bridges, he says a third of America's bridges need repair, serious repair. You're talking about, you know, multi-billion dollar price tags. But you don't have a lot of that money because you're spending it on climate that might happen in 50 years. So right. I think in that way, you can sway a lot of people to take a second look at this.
Yeah, and relevant to the main objective, I ask, you know, what is the purpose? You know, what are we trying to affect here, right?
Yeah, well, it's actually a big moneymaker for alternative energy companies, okay, especially wind turbines. Here in Ontario, we just signed a $7 billion contract, and I believe it's a Korean firm who's putting up these 62-story wind turbines all across the country, all across the province, to to stop climate change. And, of course, it's ludicrous because Ontario only contributes about half of 1% of world emissions. So we could vanish from the face of the earth and it wouldn't make any difference. But, you know, the funny thing is, Bill, the Chinese export a lot of wind turbines. They look on this as a great financial opportunity. Sure. And guess what power source they use to make the turbines? They use coal. So this is a joke from start to finish. I mean, the fact is we can't control the climate. We can help adapt to it. You know, we should help people adapt to natural climate change. A really good example of how our society can adapt is, you know, New York City was hit by Hurricane Sandy, you know, a few years ago, and there were parts of Manhattan that did not lose their power or cable or internet or anything because their cables were buried underground. But, you know, most communities say we can't afford to do that. So when they have an ice storm or a big, you know, tornado or something, they lose power, and that can sometimes be at a bad time of the year. But they got billions to spend on what might happen in 50 years. So, I mean, obviously adaptation to extreme weather and climate change is something we should really work on. Mm-hmm. And, you know, many people in the developing countries, they're quite upset that almost all the money goes to trying to stop something that might happen in the future. But they don't get any funds to help adapt to what is happening now.
Yeah, it's got to be frustrating for them to see, you know, and to hear from the international bodies that say they're looking out for their best interests and they don't want them to be involved in coal. But they're going, wait a minute, you know, that's fine for you to say. You've industrialized yourself. You've built up your nation on coal. And now because we're, you know, starting to, we're the bad guys. And the science that you're presenting is questionable at best.
Oh, yes, right. I spoke to one of the leading Ethiopian delegates at the Copenhagen Climate Conference in 2009, the Ethiopian Minister of Agriculture and Development, and he said, these people, the protesters outside, he said, they're crazy. I said, what do you mean? I said, don't you think we're causing dangerous climate change? And he said, I don't know. I'm not a scientist, but I know we need help now adapting to famine and droughts and things like that. Mm-hmm. And he said, but these people are all protesting what might happen to people who haven't been born yet. But we can't get money to help us now. So when I got home, I looked it up. And you know what the distribution is of the funds? What? The UN wanted half of it to go to adaptation and half to trying to stop climate change. It turns out, mainly because the money to be made in trying to stop climate change is enormous, that 94% of the money goes to trying to stop climate change. Only 6% goes to trying to help people like these people in Africa. And that, to me, that's a crime. And I don't think that even left-wingers should tolerate that.
Exactly. I mean, well, is this, I mean, we seem to blame everything. If we're not blaming it on Putin, then we're blaming it on the environmentalists these days. Is it their, you know, their doctrine is so confused? Are they just so passionate about what they believe in that they can't see that this makes better sense?
Yeah, there's a whole lot of motivations. I mean, some people really believe that we're causing dangerous climate change and we just have to educate them better. But a lot of people look on this as a way to get world government, okay? Mm. David Anderson, who was the previous Minister of the Environment for Canada, when they were arguing about the Kyoto Protocol, which, you know, is an early version of the Paris Agreement, he said, well, the Kyoto Protocol is the flagship of world governance. And if you think about it, it really makes sense because most of the world's power, something like 80%, is fossil fuel. And if you make it harder and harder and more controlled to use fossil fuel, then basically you're bringing a lot of the world's economy and its operation under government control. And a good example of how energy controls government is a few winters ago, the Ukraine wanted to have a somewhat different policy to Russia in some foreign policy issues. So Russia turned off the gas. And I'll tell you, the Ukrainians changed their policy very fast, and they became, you know, basically what the Russians wanted. Because if you control the energy supply of a country or of the world, you control the world.
Yeah, very simply. Well, Tom Harris has been with us, Executive Director of the International Climate Science Coalition. You can check out his website, climatescienceinternational.org, for more information. Tom Harris, thank you. Appreciate the insight.
Okay. Thanks, Bill.
You got it. Bye.
This report is brought to you by Sodexo. Sodexo's annual Workplace Trends Report has been a reliable source for spotting crucial changes in the business world for more than 5 years. In 2017, the findings reveal a game-changing focus on individuality, connectivity, and adaptability in the workplace. Based on original research and interviews with more than 50 subject matter experts, the report features 10 important trends for business leaders to account for. Highlights include an increased appreciation of the new millennial generation of workers and how factors like workplace conditions and techno-literacy are key to helping businesses thrive in this new generation. Mark Bickford, CEO of Sodexo Corporate Services.
The political and economic landscape of our country is going through a period of significant change and uncertainty this year, leaving a challenge for businesses to stay on top of trends in their workforce. Sodexo's 2017 Global Workplace Trends Report will help businesses navigate 10 of the most pressing issues impacting the workplace and the workforce in the months to come.
For more findings and trends, visit SodexoInsights.com.
All right, guys, we're ready for our four-season sunroom, and Daddy's going to get a rec room with refreshments.
Oh, no. We'll be sleeping under the stars.
Mom, what about the one with, you know, the fun?
Nice try, little bro. It's a gym. My gym.
Hey, Grandma's getting her Four Seasons garden room. Weather tight and still like being outdoors.
Maybe a living room. Oh, no, wait. A family hub.
Yeah!
No matter what the budget, the season, or the climate, Four Season Sunrooms let you and your family enjoy the outdoors inside. Call now to hear more about these great offers from the premier manufacturer of sunrooms since 1975.
More reasons for four seasons now.
To find out more, call toll-free 800-848-6333. That's 800-848-6333.
Hey, diabetics. Yeah, you. Got a spare hour to waste going to the pharmacy to get your insulin or other meds and supplies every month? I didn't think so. Me either. I've got life going on, which is why I use PillPack. PillPack is an amazing online pharmacy. They package up all my diabetic meds and testing supplies into daily doses and send it to me every month, automatically. All I do is pay my normal copay. PillPack does the rest. I'm serious. This is a free service. They don't even charge for shipping. PillPack handles all the medical insurance stuff and even get with my doctors for my other prescriptions so I don't have to, which is good because that's the stuff I forget. But PillPack remembers everything. They even package up my daily vitamins so I remember to take them too. If you're diabetic, your meds and supplies are life and death, which means you need PillPack. Call right now for this free service. You may even qualify for $25 in free vitamins. 800-560-7310. That's 800-560-7310. Again, 800-560-7310.
Hey, D.C., there's still such a thing called the Constitution. Remember? Bill Martinez, live.
Hey, we're back with you, America, just the way you like us, fresh every day and independent as well. 3 hours, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. I am Bill Martinez. For more information, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com. Colonel Denny Gillum is with us. Always good to have the Colonel with us after graduating from West Point. He served 22 years in the Army, first as an airborne ranger with two combat tours, for which he was awarded two Purple Hearts and seven awards for valor. Colonel Gillum also served as a Mideast war planner while serving at U.S. Readiness Command. Colonel Denny Gillum, always good to have you with us. How are you doing, sir?
Bill, glad to join you today.
Hey, I'll tell you, in light of what happened in London yesterday, terrorist threats abound. FBI maintains over 1,000 investigations in every state of the union. And, you know, this idea that terrorism is an existential threat, I think it's a foregone conclusion that they're right here in our backyard, right?
Of course they are. We're raising them here.
Yeah.
Why would we be different than the rest of the world?
Mm-hmm. Well,
they're
and what you say,
in the civilized world, there they are.
Right, and what you say here is very powerful. That I was looking at some statistics here. You know, you talk about raising them here. Is that what some of the evidence is indicating? Is that you know, though we might want to talk about refugees, the fact of the matter is they've been embedded here long enough that we are raising them here.
Yeah, it's not to say that refugees are not a threat because they're still, our border's still wide open. Anybody can come here. Anybody who wants to does. That includes terrorists. But, yeah, we're also raising our own. So it's not either or. It's both and.
Exactly. And of course, it's difficult when the, you know on one hand and you yourself – with your history and experience, and you're going, wait a minute, what is going on? Why aren't the people seeing this? And we have politicians, leaders of our country, who insist that our borders should be open, that somehow it is some unjust sort of measure by the citizenry to reject immigrants, because after all, they were immigrants that came in. But dare I say, they weren't immigrants coming to this country to do us harm and coming off an indoctrination, things that they were raised with that said, you know, we hate the West and it is our duty, our religious duty, ordered by God to go out and render judgment to those infidels.
Yeah, there's a slight difference. My grandparents on both sides immigrated here. They were legal immigrants, mm-hmm. and they came to become Americans, and they did. So there's a difference. And besides that, to those who say, you know, oh, we really should be doing this for everybody, my answer to that is, okay, I agree with that. So the next 1,000 immigrants that come in here, how many are you going to welcome to live in your house at no expense? Mm-hmm. You're going to feed them and you're going to help them come into the country and become useful citizens, because that's what our country is doing. We're saying, come into our house. We'll spend our money making people. So how many will you invite into your home to live there as long as they want to?
Yeah.
And I yet to find anybody who said, oh, I'll take 5 or 6.
Well, the fact of the matter is whether or not they're residing in your home exactly, they're residing in your country, and you are paying the bill.
And in your community.
Yeah.
And therefore, if there is crime, you're going to be at least one of the probable victims, maybe not actually a victim.
Well, and the impact that it has is far-reaching. You know, yes, the criminal element is one aspect, and of course we saw you know, it on display here recently with what happened in Maryland. We've got a couple of, young boy. Well, one's not young. He's 18 years old. He's an adult, you know, raping that girl in Maryland in the high school bathroom. You know, there's just something, you know, way off when we have this kind of situation. And people are starting to, I mean, the people there, the local government, they're supporting this like, well, it's okay. It's just kind of, you know, this is going to happen, you know, kind of thing. And no responsibility for, you know, wanting to embrace undocumented people in the country. They say, well, they haven't done anything wrong. Well, what do you mean they haven't done? They've broken the law, you know, but they want to ignore that. Somehow that gets, you know, brushed under the carpet here. So when we violate the laws and rules, Colonel, as you know, I mean, we're setting ourselves up. And, you know, and it's just, you can tell that you can't even have a reasonable discussion with people like this that are so fixated in that doctrine. I mean, that is so antithetical to keeping people safe.
Yes. Now, if we're talking about people who came here to become Americans, who bring something productive to support the family, like mm-hmm. somebody wants to move in your house, but they've got a job, they're going to pay rent, they're going to rent a room, that's a different story. But I'm just here, and you're supposed to take care of me, and I'm not going to accept your culture, your faith, your anything. You have to embrace mine.
Mm-hmm.
No. That's not it. And there's a world of difference. And particularly if part of your culture, and I'm not saying that this is true of every one of the Islamic faith, but if part of your culture, or a big part of your culture, involves killing all infidels and using and raping infidel females, that's a new ball game,
right?
And we need to be absolutely sure, and I don't know how you become absolutely sure, that you're not one of those before we welcome you.
Well, yeah, I mean, for many years, and it's still to this day, you're the recognized enemy, and we're killing you on the field of battle. Now, somehow, our borders are wide open, and we're saying, hey, come on in, you're welcome. You know, how does
it... Well, I'm over fighting your brother, you're raping my daughter.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's that bizarre, Denny, that this is why people are finding themselves going, what is going on? You know, what is wrong with our culture and our perception here that somehow we're trying to accommodate evil?
And I think it has to do with the fact that what we have been taught over the past 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 years is not to be proud of ourselves, mm-hmm. not to be proud of our culture, not to be proud of our faith, to put down our faith, to put down the values of our nation, to look down on ourselves and not see ourselves as the greatest country in the world that has done more for the freedom in the world than all other countries put together. But something in our culture has changed in the last 5 to 8 to 10 years, which makes our people, and particularly our youth, ashamed of, or at least not proud of, who we are and our values. That's why you see Christianity being attacked everywhere today.
Mm-hmm.
To be an open Christian in our military is to set yourself up to be worked over. We've had chaplains relieved for actually preaching just the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
We have to get back to our American values. I think that's the issue.
Well, Danny, I can tell you, I had a chance this past weekend to go back to my old base, Marine Corps base at Camp Pendleton, and check out the old headquarters where I was based out of at the Joint Public Affairs Office, and came in contact with some young Marines there, and it is impressive. And dare I say that part of the conditioning, and I think the ill conditioning of our young people, has been that there's less and less involvement in the military. These young men and women who are vested and have put their, have put their lives, on behalf to serve this country. Boy, I'll tell you, it makes you feel proud to understand they get it. They know. But, you know, these kids that have been, you know, they've got safe spaces. They're in, laboratories that have been, prejudiced by, academia. And I know that's a broad brush, and I don't mean it, but, they know which ones are doing it, that are indoctrinating our kids. They're the ones that are setting us up. And, here it is. We're the manifestation of what has been going on in the halls of academia. And but in direct contrast to these young kids that are, serving the country, not only here, but around the world.
You're right. I could say amen and give you a few examples, but Bill, you hit the nail on the head. And we, the people, have got to tell academia no more of this crap, pardon my French.
Well, it really is. I mean, it is antithetical to what we believe in, and it's very one-sided and prejudiced. Yes, I mean, are we perfect? No, we're human beings on this journey called life, and we're going to make our mistakes. But when you look at the good that America has done and its patriots has done, I think it outweighs a lot of the bad that they might suggest.
Sure.
Lieutenant Colonel Danny Gillum has been with us. Colonel, always a pleasure. Good to have you here. It's 18 before the top of the hour.
Are you married? Do you and your husband both have term life insurance? If you both don't, you should. You have a lot to protect. Call now, get a free quote for your husband, and while you're at it, get a quote for yourself too. Because you both need term life insurance. Call now. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. Rates are at all-time lows. We'll shop over 30 top-rated companies to get you the best possible rates. Term life insurance, it's the perfect way to protect the quality of your family's lifestyle. You and your husband both need term life insurance, so call now for a free quote for the both of you. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164.
Hello, I'm Dr. Cherukuri, a board-certified ear, nose, and throat physician. Every day, I see many patients whose lives would be enriched by hearing aids, but who simply cannot afford the thousands of dollars needed to pay for them. I made it my mission to find a way to manufacture medical-grade, affordable hearing aids. Working with other doctors and audiologists, I developed the MD Hearing Aid Air, which costs up to 90% less than traditional hearing aids.
See how the MD Hearing Aid Air can help you once again enjoy conversations, even in noisy places. Call 1-800-416-1526 to speak with one of their trained specialists. Reconnect with your life with MD Hearing Aid's affordable quality hearing solutions at a fraction of the cost of custom hearing aids. Right now, take advantage of their exclusive 45-day risk-free trial and get free shipping and a year's worth of free batteries, a $50 value. Call MD Hearing Aid at 1-800-416-1526. Satisfaction guaranteed. That's 1-800-416-1526.
Did you know there's a new group of water contaminants with unknown health effects? These emerging contaminants lurking in your water may include prescription, over-the-counter drugs, and new types of herbicides and pesticides. ProPure's improved Pro-1G 2.0 filter meets NSF 401 standards to help reduce these emerging contaminants. To find out more, visit your authorized ProPure dealer or ProPureUSA.com. That's P-R-O-P-U-R-USA.com.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com. A team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com. Virtual care anywhere.
Values, faith, service, they still exist here. Bill Martinez, live.
Hey, it's what makes our world go round, or at least what should, according to Kearney Denny Gilman. This is Bill Martinez. It's 14 minutes before the top of the hour. Welcome back. Israel Ortega with us right now, senior writer for the conservative political news site Opportunity Lives. He has years of experience working in both the public and private sector, possessing a thorough understanding of a variety of public policy issues, including, but not limited to, immigration, education, political analysis, and Latin America. Israel Ortega, always good to have you with us. How you doing?
Good, good. Thank you so much.
Hey, our legislators earned their money last night. They were up late. You know that this was going to take some hard work in dealing with, these final moments of repealing and replacing this devastating thing, as we've known as the Affordable Care Act, that's become quite unaffordable and unsustainable. And so, America is eager to hear, what the Republicans can come up with here.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, as you said, the negotiations are happening as we speak. And, it's going to be one of those very, very close votes. It seems as if leadership is trying to figure out a way to come up with a path to get the votes required. You know, as we know, Democrats are not going to vote for this bill. Mm-hmm. And so Republicans don't really have a lot of margin here. If more than 22 members in the House vote no, then the bill dies. And so mm-hmm. we'll see. President Trump is trying to drum up support. He continues to meet with the House Freedom Caucus, which, in my mind and in the minds of many, really holds the key to get this done.
Exactly. Well, Liz, you've been around this rodeo quite a bit, so you've mm-hmm. seen this before. It's not real sexy, mm-hmm. looking at all the sausage making, and we're watching a lot of it, whether it has to do with the Gorsuch hearings and certainly with health care. And health care is, what brought the Republicans into power, and it put them in this fortunate position. As, mm-hmm. as one said, the good news is the GOP is in this position. The bad news would have been is if Hillary got elected and they were on the outside looking in and still complaining about Obamacare.
Right. Yeah, I've been writing about this for Opportunity Lives and other outlets, and basically making the point that, the bill that Republicans have put forth is not perfect. There are a lot of things that I wish Republicans would do more of. But at the end of the day, you've got to realize what you can actually accomplish. And I wrote in an article recently, Ronald Reagan said, look, my friend is someone who agrees with me 80%. It's not my
exactly.
adversary.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is how Republicans have to see this. They have a shot of dismantling Obamacare. And if they pass up on this, I'm a little worried about what the future holds.
Well, it really would speak of their inefficiency as leaders. I mean, and being all talk and no and no bite here because there's no follow up. And as you say, and it's funny you were mentioning Reagan because that was my same thought as well, is that they've got to form something here to where you give them at least 80% or majority of what it is, so that they can go back to their constituency and say, look at, you know, you're not going to get everything, but look what we did get. And and there's got to be enough of that, what we did get, you know, to get them excited. And right now it's not there yet. And that's okay. I mean, that's fine. And God bless them for fighting and fight on and go make it work to where, you can go back and look at your constituencies in the face and say, hey, look, you trusted me with your vote. Here's what we did. Is it perfect? No, but we've come a long way and we've saved health care for this country. I got to tell you, I am really irritated at the Democrats is because they created this mess and they're happy to stand on the sidelines and make fun and have Joe Biden come there and do all this and acting as if they're somehow they're the brain trust. I mean, these are the very people that messed up this whole program that has America exactly where it is and has the GOP working overtime to clean up the mess that they created.
Right. Absolutely right. I think not enough attention is being paid to what you just laid out, Bill, which is that Obamacare is already wreaking havoc in our entire country. Look, one out of every three counties in the U.S. only has one single provider. Health insurance premiums are skyrocketing. You know, insurance companies are bailing on Obamacare. And so, again, I think you know, as you point out, Democrats are happy with this. You know, they like the infighting of Republicans. But at the end of the day, I think Republicans, you know, will have to figure out a way to do this and handle this. If not, it's going to be tough, you know, midterm election next year. And how do you explain this to voters?
Well, this could be a missed opportunity on all ends here. You know, if the GOP cannot get this right, you know, we've maintained that, look at it, they put together something here that most of the people, we can get, you know, 75-80%, and we can high-five this thing after it's all said and done. You know, President Trump, you know, gets another, he gets another 4 years, and that opens the way for Mike Pence. If they blow this, the party's over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you're right. You know, so we'll see. I mean, I think President Trump is also really, you know, we're going to see how effective he is in terms of being that deal maker. I think Trump is showing that he can work deals with the Freedom Caucus and it'll be interesting to see. I think if the Freedom Caucus gets some of these concessions and then gets the bill passed, then the Freedom Caucus can come out winners. It's going to be a big night for Republicans, and we'll see how it shapes out.
Well, speaking of what President Trump is doing, you have this sense that that Leader Ryan is excited because he feels like he's not going it all alone. I mean, this is the first time, I think, in his career that he's had the support, the active support and resources of POTUS.
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I criticized the president during the campaign trail for not talking about Obamacare more. But you know, I got to hand it to him. You know, these last few weeks, these last few months, President Trump has zeroed in on Obamacare, has been very detailed about what needs to happen in the healthcare industry. And I think it's smart policy. It's smart politics for him. And I really hope that this continues regardless of what happens with this vote. I think President Trump has to continue exercising this leadership on healthcare.
Well, I don't know if you agree with this or not, but we've been pushing on this show that we want to encourage Congress to make a pledge to the American people that whatever legislation they come up with, that they pledge to come under it. Not like what they did last time where the Democrats offered all these exemptions, but they themselves would say, look, we have our own selves and resources into this legislation to the degree that we're willing to and welcome, you know, living under the legislation that we create with this health care program.
I agree with that 100%, Bill. And this is the hypocrisy I think the American people are tired of. And you know, it's not just on healthcare. You know, we've talked about this before on other issues like education, where you know, congressmen oppose school choice, but then they send their own kids to private school. I mean, this is the type of hypocrisy that just drives people nuts.
Exactly. Well, you imagine how refreshing that could be, and we keep throwing it out there, and we know somebody's going to pick it up sooner or later. But I think it would be a very positive and refreshing breath of fresh air for we the people to say, okay, hey, we're in the boat together here, and we're going to make this happen. And I think it would go a long way because, as you say, they may as they're working through these waning hours to make this happen. I know they were working late last night. You know, they may have to take this off the floor and, you know, let it live another day so that they can come back and make sure they got the votes, right?
Yeah, it's possible. And what the you know, House Speaker is telling me and through his aides and others is that this is a three-prong approach. So you pass this bill, then, you know, Health and Human Services Secretary will do another round of changes. And then there could be additional legislation to do what this first bill doesn't do. So this is the type of incremental, I think, approach Republicans have to realize is necessary.
Well, you brought up a point here, too, and I think this is one of the things that some are overlooking, and that is the Secretary of Health having an incredible amount of power, which the Democrats put into motion. So, you know, they've kind of set up these landmines of their own, whether it's the nuclear option, which we'll probably see exercised because, you know, Leader McConnell has said he's going to get that Gorsuch will he will be declared the next Chief Justice. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
So he's kind of signaling to the Democrats that, you know, don't make me use this because as you know, Mitch McConnell better than I do. But what I sense is that he's a tried and true traditionalist. He holds to the tradition of the Senate. And I believe that he was greatly grieved when Harry Reid did what he did. But he did hand over the keys to the nuclear suitcase there to the Republicans, didn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, Mitch McConnell is a master, as you point out, of Senate rules and Senate parliamentarian rules. But at the end of the day, Gorsuch will be the Supreme Court justice, and that's just the way it is. I mean, I think the Democrats really embarrassed themselves this week trying to trip up Gorsuch, and Gorsuch just schooled him. On a variety of issues.
Exactly. Well, I got to tell you, you know, you think about if anybody had any doubt about conservatism and the rule of law, when you saw somebody and you were witnessing what Gorsuch, as you said, how he schooled them, I think that those hours of testimony are going to make for some great DVDs that the legal institutions will want to get their hands on. What do you think?
Yeah, no, absolutely. There's a great exchange, actually, speaking of which, and you can look it up. You could just Google Ben Sasse Twitter, but Ben Sasse asked Gorsuch about the Bill of Rights, and specifically for a student audience, and I thought Gorsuch just answered it beautifully, and I look it up because it was a beautiful exchange about what makes this country special.
Well, Liz, I appreciate your insight, as always. We'll keep our fingers crossed here and keep our eyes on what's happening here with the GOP, and if the deal maker can make the big deal happen on behalf of the GOP, but more importantly, we the people here, as in regard to the American Health Care Act, right?
Absolutely. Thanks, Bill. It was a pleasure.
Always good to have you with us. Israel Ortega, senior writer for the conservative political news site Opportunity Lives. This is Bill Martinez, just about 3 minutes before the top of the hour.
Hi there, Dick Allgaier here. I was a mainstream television news reporter for over 3 decades. I normally never do commercial endorsements. I am very skeptical of health supplements, but a friend of mine told me about his experience with Synergy One, so I purchased a bottle, and my wife and I have been using it for a few weeks now. I very much dislike so-called energy boosters, those little energy drinks that have caffeine and guarana and other things that make your heart race. This is not that. My experience with Synergy One has been great. My mood is better. My joints feel better. I have more vigor, more stamina, way increased productivity. My wife and I both noticed that we even dream more. So I recommend Synergy One. It's really good stuff. I'm having great results with it.
Call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworldwhey.com.